Good morning. Welcome to worship. Today is the fourth Sunday in Advent. We will light our fourth candle on the wreath, which is behind me and to my right, your left, because of the weather. Despite the cold and the rain, it is a joy to be together in worship today. Some announcements as we begin our time together. You'll note that our Christmas Eve service will be quite different from what we are all used to this year. We have recorded that service, and my understanding is it is ready to go. It's turned out very well, and I hope this will be a meaningful experience. I also, frankly, hope this will be the last year we have to do this experience in this way, but it seems the safest way to provide a meaningful worship experience for you and your family. The beauty of this is that you can watch it with your family at any time that suits you. You can watch it early together. You can watch it late in the evening so that the clock strikes midnight as you're lighting your candles for Silent Night. You can send it to people all over the world who may want to worship along with us. So I hope there will be some unexpected benefits and joys even in this difficult year. The link for that service will be emailed out to you all tomorrow. Also, the bulletin will be emailed out to you tomorrow. You can also find that on our website, gslc.com. Also, a note that this holiday week, our Bible studies will be continuing as normal. We will meet in the FAB on Tuesday for Bible study at 11:30 a.m., and we will also be offering our Zoom Bible study on Wednesday, both at 8 a.m. and 7 p.m. So I hope to see all of you who would like to participate present at one of those study times. There are several other announcements in your bulletin. I would direct your attention there as time allows. At this time, let us begin our worship together, confessing our sin and receiving God's forgiveness. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, whose forgiveness is sure and whose steadfast love endures forever. Amen. Together, let us honestly and humbly confess that we have not lived as God desires. Loving and forgiving God, we confess that we are held captive by sin. In spite of our best efforts, we have gone astray. We have not welcomed the stranger. We have not loved our neighbor. We have not been Christ to one another. Restore us, O God. Wake us up and turn us from our sin. Renew us each day in the light of Christ. Amen. People of God, hear this glad news. By God's endless grace, your sins are forgiven, and you are free, free from all that holds you back, and free to live in the peaceable realm of God. May you be strengthened in God's love, comforted by Christ's peace, and accompanied with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Shadow pulled to flight. Rejoice!
The grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Stir up your power, Lord Christ, and come. With your abundant grace and might, free us from the sin that would obstruct your mercy, that willingly we may bear your redeeming love to all the world. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Christ is our life and Christ our salvation, nothing shall we fear. Christ is our life and Christ our salvation, nothing shall we fear. Lord, you are light in the darkness, the hope for those afraid. Comfort us, strengthen us, heal our broken world. Christ is our life and Christ our salvation, nothing shall we fear. Christ is our life and Christ our salvation, nothing shall we fear. One with the Father and Spirit before the world began. Visit us, make us new, waken us for love. Christ is our life and Christ our salvation, nothing shall we fear. Christ is our life and Christ our salvation, nothing shall we fear.
A reading from 2 Samuel. Now when the king was settled in his house and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, the king said to the prophet Nathan, "See now, I am living in a house of cedar, but the ark of God stays in a tent." Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that same night the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent and a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about among all the people of Israel, did I ever speak a word with any of the tribal leaders of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them so that they may live in their own place and be disturbed no more, and evildoers shall afflict them no more as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A reading from Romans. Now to God, who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages but is now disclosed, and through the prophetic writings is made known to all the Gentiles, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith, to the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord, let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Call on our children's attention for a moment, both to me and to our Advent wreath. We may have lost a candle there, it appears, but for a brief time at least, before the wind came, we had four candles burning today, burning brightly, and that means that Christmas will soon be here. It seems like just yesterday we lit the first of those four candles together. I hope you've enjoyed this tradition. I hope you've enjoyed singing along with Mr. Cody during the lighting of the Advent wreath. I know that the song we've been using that he plays on the ukulele, he taught to some of you during your time with him. And I hope it's been a comfort and a nice thing for you to hear those words and sing them together during Advent. I have to say, I find it to be a very catchy tune, and sometimes I find myself during the week humming those words or singing along. Christ is our life and Christ our salvation. Nothing shall we fear. Today in our gospel lesson, we hear a story about Jesus' mother, Mary. The angel came to visit her with some news that may have been scary to her, that she was going to have a child who would be God's son and the Savior of the whole world. That's a lot to take in, a lot to understand and accept. And the angel told Mary not to be afraid. And Mary trusted God and agreed to be the mother of Jesus so that Jesus could come and be our Savior. God tells us to love others and teach others about Jesus' love. That task is not as scary or hard as bearing a child who would be the Savior of the whole world, but it can be scary and hard to love others, to teach others, to care for others. As we see our candles burning brightly today, we remember those words we've been singing together these 4 weeks. Nothing shall we fear. Let us pray. Dear Lord, help us, even when we are afraid, to live as you taught us. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, people of God, we have a much shorter wait than Mary did, don't we? We have only to wait a few more days to celebrate the birth of Jesus. She had 9 long months to wait from that angelic announcement that she would conceive a child by the Holy Spirit to the birth of Jesus. During that time, what happened in her life? We don't know all the details. In fact, we don't know many details at all, but the ones we know are both tantalizingly sparse and yet completely ordinary. On the one hand, we get just enough about Mary's life during those 9 months to make us wonder how certain parts of her life must have been. We're left to wonder exactly how the conversation with Joseph must have gone about this incredible news from the angel Gabriel. We're left to wonder if Jesus, still in the womb, kept Mary awake at night, kicking and moving. Even after the birth of Jesus, we're left to wonder if the infant Jesus kept Mary awake at night. We all know the words to that hymn, "The little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes." But those of us accustomed to actual human children know that that is often far from the truth. But we don't know. Luke doesn't tell us much at all about that time. We don't hear about what foods Mary might have craved during her pregnancy. We know nothing at all, really, about the Holy Family's life during those 9 months. That's the part that is tantalizingly sparse. But we also get stories that are totally ordinary. We read about Mary's visit to her relative, Elizabeth, who was also with child. It reminds me of any number of visits we made to see my sister-in-law, who was expecting her first child while we were awaiting our adoption of our son, James. This is a story of ordinary, common, everyday life. We read about another ordinary aspect of Mary's life during that wait for Jesus to arrive. We hear about the summons that Mary received along with Joseph, her betrothed. A letter from the government, from Caesar Augustus. A census would take place. They would have to go to Bethlehem to be registered. Perfect timing, right? The census took place the same week the baby was due. You could almost see that happening to someone in today's world, opening the mail at the wrong time. This is ordinary, everyday life. Maybe even a little mundane life. And that is the amazing thing, the special thing about Mary's pregnancy and her awaiting the coming of the baby Jesus. It was so common. And that is the way God chose to come among us. God could have come any way God wanted to. Did God choose a throne? No, but a manger. Did God choose a princess to be Jesus's mother? No, God chose a peasant. God could have burst forth on the scene fully grown and shining brightly. God could have descended from the clouds or appeared in a flash of light. But God chose to come into the world the same way you and I did. And God chose an unknown, ordinary person like Mary and invited her to become the mother of God and the bearer of Christ. God chose an unwed couple to welcome a child into the world amidst scandal. Earthly scandal, perhaps. You can almost hear the neighbors whispering. You know, she was with child before she and Joseph were living together. God chose a little town called Bethlehem, not Rome, not Jerusalem. And who was the first to hear this good news besides the livestock that may have heard the infant Jesus cry for the first time? It was not Caesar. It was not Herod. It was not the high priest. It was not even someone whose name was recorded for us. It was some shepherds, itinerants, nomads, nobodies as far as the world was concerned. We often so sentimentalize this Christmas story with our nativity scenes and our pageants that we miss both the ordinariness of Jesus' birth, how common and regular and mundane it may have seemed in the grand scheme of things. But we also miss the scandal of it, not just that apparent scandal I mentioned of Mary and Joseph's marital status, not just the scandal that some shepherds of all people were the unlikely audience of that first angelic chorus, but the sheer scandal that God would be born in such a way to such a people as us. In this story, we hear the miracle that God entered the mundane and the ordinary and the common. God came among the plain and the humble, the forgotten and the lowly, and God made those things and those people holy with the presence and coming of Christ. And for us, like Mary, our wait for Jesus, not just a few days till Christmas Eve, but until he comes again, our wait will be marked by the ordinary, by the simple, by the everyday, perhaps by the mundane. Visits to relatives, letters from the government, scandals, sickness. And we long for God to come again into our ordinary lives and to make us holy. When we feel bitter and broken, small and unimportant, we, like Mary, can rejoice in the fact that nothing is impossible with God, and that God has promised to save us, to come among us, to enter our lives, and make us holy, chosen, set apart, important, and special. When we feel as lowly as a shepherd, as humble as a peasant, as forgotten as a traveler for whom there is no room in the inn, we remember and rejoice that God has indeed come among us into just such circumstances before, and God will never forget or forsake us. We rejoice that it is to and for the lowly that God has come. And yet on the other side of that coin, when we feel proud, when we feel important, when we feel self-sufficient or self-righteous, when we feel like others are less than us, this Christmas story should make us reevaluate how we view our neighbors. We must ask ourselves, if God were to come among us today, as God did 2,000 years ago, to whom would God come? To those who consider themselves better? To those who have it all together? To those who have a plan? To those who have means or money? Or would God come to our neighbors who don't have enough? Would God come to the proverbial other side of the tracks? Would God come to our neighbor who is an unwed, expectant mom? Would God come to our neighbor who lives out in the street or out in the field? Would God come to our neighbor who lives in fear and despair? And we must face the fact that is precisely how God came the first time, exactly that way, to little, poor, unwed, unknown Mary. And God called her favored one. And Mary said, "Yes, Lord, count me in. I believe your promise. My life may be mundane. My situation may be pitiful, but my God is great. Let it be to me just as you have said." So this week, I invite you to imagine God were going to break into the world once again. And in our modern context, I want you to think how God might choose to come. Whom would God choose to bear God's love to the world here and now? To whom would the angel sing that first Noel here and now? Where would the Messiah be born into our world today? Would it be on the front steps of some cathedral or government building, or in the back alley of our little town? Once you've pondered those questions, once you've answered that question for yourself, once you've imagined to whom God would come, where God would come, I invite you to find a way to bring good news to precisely those places in our world this week. Christ is to be born precisely in these places, and He is to be born there in and through you this week. God chooses you this week, favored ones, to share impossible good news with those who find themselves in impossible circumstances. And into this world that so desperately needs God's love, you go this week to speak words of hope that with God nothing will be impossible. You go bearing Christ to those whom God loves in the world this week. Amen. Let us confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day He rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. God of power and might, shine your radiance and come quickly to this weary world. Hear our prayers for everyone in need. Gracious God, all generations call you blessed. In this holy season, we pray for our neighbors of other denominations and faiths. Inspire the faith of their people, cultivate understanding among us, and strengthen us in love and service to our community. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Creator God, you scatter the proud. Everything we have belongs first to you. Bless and protect the seas, mountains, plains, forests, skies, and soils that surround us. Give us humility as we tend them. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Righteous God, you humble the powerful and lift up the lowly. We pray for the leaders of all nations, that they amplify the voices of people in need. Guide all people entrusted with leadership to create societies in which everyone can flourish. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Compassionate God, you fill the hungry with good things and send the rich away empty. Nourish those who lack access to adequate food and nutrition. Bless the work of advocates, community organizers, and food pantries. Encourage others to provide for their neighbors in need. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Healing God, you pour out mercy to all who cry out to you. Surround everyone in need of healing in mind, body, or spirit with your tender presence, especially those on our prayer list and those whom we name before you now. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Eternal God, you are faithful to the promises you made to our forebears. We give thanks for the ministry of all our ancestors in the faith who organized, planned, dreamed, encouraged, and reached out as they served you. Inspire others with their steadfast witness. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Draw near to us, O God, and receive our prayers for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share a sign of peace with one another. We continue our worship together on page 6 with the Great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Take and eat, this is the body of Christ given for you. Take and drink, this is the blood of Christ shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and abundant God, you have done great things for us, and we rejoice. In this bread and cup, you give us life forever. In your boundless mercy, strengthen us and open our hearts to the world's needs for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Go in peace, prepare the way of the Lord. Thanks be to God.